सविशेषाश्च यादृश श्रेणीनां राजर्षिणां च श्रेणीनां राजर्षिणां च धर्मकृच्छ्रेषु जीवताम् धर्मकृच्छ्रेषु जीवताम् नृणां साधारणो धर्मा सविशेषाश्च यादृश श्रेणीनां राजर्षिणां च धर्मकृच्छ्रेषु जीवताम् नृणां साधारणो धर्मा सविशेषाश्च यादृश श्रेणीनां राजर्षिणां च धर्मकृच्छ्रेषु जीवताम् श्रेणीनां राजर्षिणां च धर्मकृच्छ्रेषु जीवताम् नृणां साधारणो धर्म सविशेषश्च यदृशा श्रेणीनां राजर्षिणां च धर्म कृच्छ्रेषु जी माताजी नृणां साधारणो धर्म सविशेषश्च यादृश श्रेणीनां राजर्षिणां च धर्म कृच्छ्रेषु जीवताम् नाम साधारणो धर्म विशेषस्य यादृशः दर्शिनां च नृणाम् ऑफ ह्यूमन सोसाइटी साधारण जनरल धर्मः religious affiliation, sa visheshah, specific, cha, also, yadrisha, as they are, shreninam, of the particular three classes, rajarshinam, of the saintly royal order, cha, also, धर्म ऑक्युपेशनल ड्यूटी कृच रेशु इन द मैटर ऑफ डिस्ट्रेस्ड कंडीशंस जीवताम ऑफ द लिविंग बीइंग्स ट्रांसलेशन प्लीज ऑल्सो एक्सप्लेन व्हाट मे जनरली बी द कॉमन रिलीजियस अफिलिएशंस ऑफ ह्यूमन सोसाइटी as well as their specific occupational duties in religion, the classification of the social orders, as well as the administrative royal orders and the religious principles for one who may be in distress. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. The common religion of classes of human beings, regardless of whosoever and whosoever one may be, is devotional service. Even the animals may be included in devotional service to the Lord. And the best example is set of Sri Vajrangaji or Hanuman, the great devotee of Lord Ram. As we have already discussed, even the aborigines and cannibals can also be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord if they happen to be under the guidance of a genuine devotee of the Lord. In the Skanda Puran, there is a narration that a hunter in the jungle became the most enlightened devotee of the Lord by the guidance of Sri Narada Muni. Therefore, devotional service to the Lord can be equally shared by every living being. Religious affiliation in terms of different countries and cultural circumstances is obviously not the common religion of human being. Rather, the basic principle is devotional service. Even if a particular type of religious principle does not recognize the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the followers still have to obey the disciplinary principles laid down by a particular leader. Such a leader of a religious sect is never the supreme leader, because such a circumstantial leader comes to the position of leadership after undergoing some penance. The Supreme Personality of Godhead does not, however, require to be under a disciplinary action to become leader, as we see in the activities of Lord Krishna. The occupational duties of the castes and the orders of society, following the principles of livelihood, also depend on the principle of devotional service. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that a person can achieve the highest perfection of life simply by awarding the results of his occupational duty unto the devotional service of the Lord. People following the principles of devotional service to the Lord can never be put into difficulty, and thus there cannot be any question of apar dharma or religion in distress, as will be explained in this book by the greatest authority, Srila Sukadev Goswami. There is no religion save and except the devotional service of the Lord, though this may be presented in different forms. Om Ajnana Dimirandasya Jnananjana Sharakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Dadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Gurum Vishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vidam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna. We welcome you all to another day of Srimad Bhagavatam class in Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Mandir Chopati. So, before speaking, I would like to seek the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas and those who are hearing online, that I may speak something for my purification and for the inspiration of all of you. So, the particular verse that we are speaking on, the theme derived for today's discussion is Dharma. So, let us now just rewind and go 5,000 years back on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, where two armies are lined up, one against the other, both are facing each other. Now, the greatest of archer, Arjuna, is on one side and the Kurus are on the other side. They both know the rules of the game. They both have performed the rituals, pujas, sacrifices, and very much aware of what is at stake in that particular war. The most important thing for them to achieve after they actually fight the war. And they've been preparing for it, building for it, and now that opportune moment is there very much in front of them. So, what happens? 1.21, 1.22, Arjuna tells Krishna, Senayor Ubhayor Madhye, Ratham Sthapaya Mechuta, Yavad Eta Niriksheham, Yodhu Kaman Avastithan, Kairmaha Savayodhavyam, Asmin Rana Samudhyame. So now Arjuna is asking Krishna. He is in complete mood now. Arjuna is very much mood. He wants to see. He is telling, my dear Krishna, please take the chariot in between both the battlefield, in the center of the battlefield, so that I can see who all are lined up, who are there assembled and come to fight against us. So Arjuna is really pumped up now. And then just in a matter of 2-3 verses, what we see in the Bhagavad Gita, Tan samikshasa Kaunteya Sarvan Bandhu Navastithan Kripaya Paraya Vishto Vishidan Idam Abravit. In a matter of just 2 or 3 verses, when Arjuna goes and stands at that particular location, the situation gets to him. Does it? So Arjuna now says in this verse, I am overwhelmed. I am stunned. He further says, my hairs are standing on end. My great Gandiva is slipping off my hand. I do not know, O Keshava, what do I do? Please guide me. So this is the position in which Arjuna finds himself. It's interesting to note, who are we talking about? He is none other than Arjun. Just look at his background. Arjuna has received the name Gudakesha. What do you mean by Gudakesha? One who has conquered his sleep. Now it's not a child's play to conquer someone's sleep. You know, we don't sleep for a couple of hours in the night and then we are completely like a zombie throughout the entire day. Or then we need compulsory rest during the day, if at all that's feasible and possible for all of us. Otherwise, it carries on for the next 2-3 days. So Arjuna, when he actually found that this night time could be utilized for excelling in my skills, he conquered that obstacle in his life too. Further, when he in Agyatvas goes to the heavenly celestial abodes, it is said that one of the requirements that he had to do was practice celibacy for a year so that he could acquire divine celestial weapons, which he very much did. And during that time, was he not tested? Oh, surely. He is confronted with the most beautiful damsels of the Indraloka. Urvashi comes in front of him. And then Arjuna, such a self-restrained, sense-controlled person, you can see from this episode, he denies her advances just for the sake of the mission which is there in front of him. And what does he do? He actually focuses on the mission. He's even willing to undergo the curse, which actually was a blessing in hindsight when we see. So, what are we talking about? We are talking about this particular individual. It is not somebody who is a neophyte or who has come tomorrow and today and, you know, stood up and assembled in front of such great Maharathis. So forth, you could say in this modern world, you take the example of somebody like Sachin Tendulkar. He has scored so many hundreds and day in, day out, it's like the click of his little finger for him to score centuries. Now imagine the pinnacle of cricket, the World Cup, the final is there, and Sachin Tendulkar says to his coach, take me to the center of the cricket ground. I would like to see who will have come, who I have assembled, and then he completely breaks down there. So, to give a contemporary mundane example, you know, you could just estimate what is the situation and who are we talking about. So, the gravity is, this could happen to any one of us, and in fact, it happens to almost all of us. Situations do come in front of us where, first of all, we need to know and have the intelligence to actually decipher between right and wrong. And at that opportune moment, we should at least have the intelligence to know, what do I do next? So Arjuna, at this particular time, was very, very alert to it. And fortunately, he had a guide in the form of Krishna, to whom he reposes these questions, and he expresses his, in a depressive state that he is in, Arjuna confides and says, I am helpless, please help me. So we are talking about this particular situation that can befall on all of us. What was the purpose for which Arjuna was fighting? To establish dharma. So what is dharma? The purport that we actually read out also discusses about apad dharma. So what to speak about apad dharma? First, let us actually discuss about what is dharma, and then we will briefly touch upon the subject of apad dharma in our discussion too. So what word does it ring in our mind when we hear the word or listen to the word dharma? What is the first word that comes to our mind? Duty, or many times people say religion. Duty is also very much correct. So religion is one word which very much rings a bell in our mind. And in the Western world, religion is made synonymous with beliefs. So many times, dharma actually doesn't have a word in English language to equate to what it actually means, the enormous potential that this word signifies. Religion is a rendition that is given to it in English language, and the Western world signifies religion mostly in today's world with beliefs, which is actually not doing any justice to the definition of dharma and the enormous potential. It is just a minuscule aspect of the meaning of word dharma that beliefs and religion exemplify. So let us just today touch upon the subject of what exactly is dharma. Dharma actually originates from the root of the Sanskrit word dhri. From dhri comes dharma. From dhri comes two other words, which is dhara. Dhara means earth. Mother earth. What does mother earth do? She actually carries the load and weight of all of us, right? Even though we may be committing so many activities which might not be the most perfect. But at the same time, what does earth do? She continues her movements continuously so that we can do our duties here on this planet. Dharma also, the word dhri also signifies dhatri. Dhatri now is another word for mother. What does a mother do? A mother actually bears the burden of love of her child for 9 months. Not only 9 months, she actually does it for the entire life of her child. It's a life and soul for a mother, a child. Similarly, dharma, which is originates from dhri, signifies the most important meaning of dharma is to uphold something really great. So what is dharma? To uphold values, to uphold principles, to uphold regulations, to uphold qualities, and so on and so forth. Actually, dharma can be defined as a beautiful silken cloth consisting of so many colors interwoven into it. And it can be defined as an amalgamation or synthesis of values, regulations, vratas, upavasas, cultures, traditions, dham darshans, ideal decision-making capacity. So it is a very, very broad concept, so on and so forth, to say, to put it in short terms. Dharma is really, really a very far out and broad concept that we actually are discussing. It is said that dharma covers the macro and the micro. It is not just limited to, you know, a particular place, a particular style. It is actually universally applicable. It is not limited. The Constitution of India is restricted to anyone who is living within the boundaries of the country. If you just exit the boundary of our country, the Constitution ceases to exist. But dharma is not like that. Dharma doesn't cease to exist. Dharma is all-pervading, it is universal. it is applicable throughout the universe. At the same time, although it is universal, dharma is also very, very individual. It is also applicable according to one's psychophysical nature. It is not something that the Lord has randomly thrust upon all of us and says these are certain sets of rules and regulations, and if you don't abide by them, your destination awaits you in the further lifetimes. The benediction that the Lord and our Acharyas have given us in the form of this dharma is that it is applicable on a case-to-case basis and on an individual basis. It can be contextual, not categorical. Chaitanya Charan Prabhu mentions this in one of his talks, and he gives an example to say that one time there was a sage, there was a cow, and there was a butcher. Now this village in which all these three people were present was really a very dharma-centric village. You know, animal slaughter was considered taboo in this village. And here what happens? This cow is found to be running helter-skelter for his life, and the butcher is running after the cow. At crossroads, there is a hermit who happens to pass by. This butcher approaches the hermit and says, "Have you seen the cow running?" So the hermit is at crossroads. So what do you feel the hermit has to do at that particular point of time, seeing the background of that particular village? But then the hermit, he just points his finger in the direction in which the cow had actually run. And lo and behold, what happens? The butcher follows the cow and kills it and achieves what he wants it to achieve. Cut through many, many years later, again we find a village where there is a woman, her husband, and a sage. So here we see again this village was really again a dharmic village, and this sage, according to the principles of Varnashrama, was doing madhukari, happens to go to every house begging for alms. At one fine day, he comes to the house of this particular woman and knocks the door and says, "Bhiksham Dehi." The woman opens the door, finds this hermit. To his dismay and to her liking, and what happened that day, somehow the woman got attracted to this hermit, and then she offered advances, but he resisted. Looking at it, what she did further, she takes a knife in her house, and her husband who was there inside, she goes and stabs him to death, and then shouts loudly, completely awakening the attention of the neighboring people, and then says, "He is responsible for the death of my husband, and why? Because he was trying to abuse me." Now, what is the connection of this story with the previous story? So it is said that dharma is very subtle. Dharma is contextual and not categorical. It is universal but applicable case-to-case basis. Now the cow in the previous life was the woman in this life. The butcher in the previous life was the husband of the woman. And the hermit remained the same. What did they do? When the people realized that the woman called out for help, they simply chopped off his hands. So one might say, why only chopped off his hands? He should have been hanged to death for this heinous crime. But actually, if you rewind and go behind, it is seen that the hermit actually used only his hand and pointed his fingers in the direction in which the cow had run. So that accrues, and after years together, now this reaction has come. So dharma is very, very subtle, very, very contextual, individual, although it is universally applicable. At the same time, if we are not able to live up to the standards that are set, still scriptures and acharyas are very accommodative. We have multiple layers and levels that they have accorded us with. If you can't follow this, at least do that. Ekadashi Vrata is there. There is Nirjal, of course, that you are supposed to do as written in the scriptures. But if you can't do that, a child or a sick person, or a person who is aged, you can't expect them to really rigorously follow this vow. So then at different levels, different layers, there are different things prescribed in our scriptures, and you will definitely follow dharma according to your particular position that you are in. So, further in the Bhagavatam, in the 7th canto, Narad Muni converses with Yudhishthir Maharaj, and in this conversation, he speaks about 30 lakshanas of dharma. He glorifies 5 in detail. The Manusmriti also speaks about 10 lakshanas of dharma, and there is a shloka which very nicely communicates this particular 10 lakshanas of dharma. So it says, Dhriti Shama Damostaiva Saucham Indriya Nigraha Dhi Vidya Satyam Akrodha Dashakam Dharma Lakshanam. So Dhriti is patience. It is said that this shloka is better inscribed at the temples or gates of every temple. Why? Because people visiting the temples should practice the virtue of patience. If they can practice the virtue of patience, when they have to line up in queue for hours together, only if they could cultivate this lakshana of dharma, it would be so good. The consciousness, by the time they reach the Lord in the line to take darshan, the consciousness that they could cultivate if they followed this lakshana of dharma would be so much better. In the Ramayana, Lord Ram illustrates this particular lakshana when basically Ram saves Sugriv, and after saving Sugriv from Vali, already there is a goal that needs to be accomplished. Mother Sita is in Ayodhya. Time is separating and time is of essence. It is limited. You cannot just go on and wait for eternity. But then what does Lord Ram choose to do? He knows that the 4 months are coming soon. So he follows the codes of conduct that are laid down in scriptures. He waits for 4 months. Although the job at hand is serious and very, very urgent, but still Ram patiently shows us to how he follows dharma, waits for 4 months, and then even then when he goes at the fag end to the Samudra Dev, he prays and waits for 3 whole days. Again, he exhibits patience here. So this is a principle which is exhibited by Ram. Ram is also called as Maryada Purushottam. Now, why is he named Maryada Purushottam? Maryada itself signifies dharma. So Ram, by practicing Maryada, shows to all of us that he is also dharma personified, and in his life, which he has actually lived to set an example for us, he shows how he himself has followed the codes of conduct laid down by various acharyas and gurus and munis. So again, we come to the next quality, that is dhi. So dhi means buddhi or intelligence. So it is mentioned here that at one point of time, there was a deer. Now deer is a natural prey for a lion. So in a forest, the lion runs after a deer. And when the deer runs, it passes by a sage. The deer runs ahead. The lion comes and reaches up to the sage and inquires, "Did you see the deer running from here?" Now, the sage is in dharma sankat. What does he do? According to the lakshanas of dharma, if he speaks the truth, then he breaks one of the lakshanas or limbs, that is ahimsa. And if he doesn't speak the truth, then truthfulness, satyam, is supposed to be broken by the sage. So what does the sage do? The sage uses this lakshana of dharma, which is dhi or vidya, or buddhi or intelligence. The sage says to the lion, "That which can see, unfortunately cannot speak, and that which can speak, unfortunately cannot see." What is the conclusion? The lion is happy and it leaves from the place. The deer's life is saved and the sage, as dharma, has been preserved. So what is the purport? The sage says, that which can see, the eyes which can see, unfortunately can't speak. And the mouth which can speak, unfortunately can't see. So this is how you can use intelligence, buddhi, the lakshanas of dharma, to even preserve dharma. So dharma is very, very sukshma, or what you say is very subtle. You need to know how to apply which particular thing at what time. Further, we see the passage that we are dealing with today. It speaks about apad dharma. And before we move on to that, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita in the 18th chapter has actually mentioned about how people in today's day and age are going to use their intelligence in applying the principles of the Bhagavad Gita or the lakshanas of dharma. So here Krishna says that prithvim cha nivrittim cha pravrittim cha nivrittim cha karya karye bhaya bhaye bandham moksham chayaveti buddhi sa partha satviki. So in 18.30 Krishna says that understanding by which one knows what ought to be done and what ought not to be done, what is to be feared and what is not to be feared, what is binding and what is liberating, such kind of people and such intelligence is in the mode of goodness. Now we all know the world that we are in living, how many of us can claim to be living in the mode of goodness? Very few. We can't even actually say that, okay, so many people are in the mode of goodness. So this particular shloka, we can just pass and move on to the next one, where Krishna says, Yaya dharma ma dharmam cha, karyam cha karyam eva cha, ayathavat prajanathi, buddhi sa partha rajasi. So that understanding which cannot distinguish between religion and irreligion, action that should be performed and action that should not be done, is in the mode of passion. So the purport of this particular verse is, rajasic people or people in the mode of rajas or passion, they basically do not know the distinction between dharma and adharma. So now when such people do not know the distinction between dharma and adharma, how do we expect such people to actually follow dharma? This is not the end. Let us see what is coming in the next verse. Adharmam dharmam iti ya manyate tamasavrata sarvarthan viparitamscha buddhi sa partha tamasi. So here Krishna says that such people who are in the mode and influenced by ignorance, they consider adharma, forget knowing adharma or dharma, they actually consider adharma to be as dharma and they take dharma to be as adharma. And even if you take the Bhagavad Gita in front of such people, I am sure they will find out something within the Gita and quote it according to what they want to actually mean. For example, a person commits a murder and then he'll show the Gita, you show the Gita to him, he'll come out and say, Nayam hanti na hanyate. So, such are the class and level of such people who are living in the mode of ignorance, that they, what is the class and what is Krishna is actually demonstrating to us, what is the level of people in today's day and age. So anyways, the verse speaks about apad dharma. Now what is apad dharma? That dharma, when we are in a crisis, physical, circumstantial, spiritual, or it could be any crisis, an emergency situation, when we are in such situation, the scriptures have made a provision or made a facility where someone from a particular varna can actually perform the duty of another. And even any sins committed or any aparads committed during such calamities, to save the lives of anybody else or taking evasive action, you do not incur sin at that particular point of time. So, in one time Radhesham Prabhu was mentioning that in one of the programs or college programs, the topic of discussion was, what if you are in a desert, there is nothing to eat, and then, you know, the analogy was that there is just, you know, an egg which you can be given to eat, an omelette that is there. No water, no nothing. You are in the middle of a desert. It will take 3 whole days for you to reach to a situation or land where you would seemingly then be able to survive. What should you do? So Radhesham Prabhu tells in this class, 70% of the students say, Khalo aur aage bado, jaan bachao. Why? Because as it is, none of them were following dharma. They were already eating that, breaking these principles. So for them it was a way of life. They didn't find anything bad about this. And the other 30% said, Pran jaye par dharma na jaye. Nahi khane ka, mar jayenge par nahi khayenge. So he says that when Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj was asked this question What does he say? He, Maharaj said that what is the disposition of that particular individual when he takes such a particular food? It is important to know how are you going to live in your life. If he is going to live by the conducts of dharma, the code of conducts that have been laid by the scriptures, then you may indulge in whatever it is also your dharma to protect your body in that particular circumstance. So, such an act is also forgiven by scriptures. But in case you are as it is going to eat this and come to your home or your safe place and then again indulge in sense gratificatory activities, it is better to avoid and not indulge in such an activity. So, dharma is very, very subtle and is very, very clear in different circumstances. So, there is a nice story which depicts this particular apad dharma. It is the section of the Mahabharata where Yudhishthir Maharaj is supposed to tell Dronacharya that Ashwatthama is no more. So, let us just read or we discuss this particular story where it is mentioned very nicely in one of the books of Govind Prabhu, which is The Real Side. So, this chapter is entitled The Power of Lie. So, here Yudhishthir Maharaj, who is he? He is an emblem of dharma. Yudhishthir Maharaj is someone who actually is a practitioner, not only a practitioner of dharma, but he is actually a dharma personified, an establisher of dharma. And some people say, what has he done? He has actually spoken a lie. So what is the use of Yudhishthir Maharaj? And then who has he actually done this on the behest of Krishna? What type of God is Krishna that he advises his devotees to speak lies? And he acts according to his whims and fancies. Jab chahiye, he changes the rules of the game. Whenever he wants, he twists and turns. So much so like a kid, he makes rules of his own game. And, you know, people when they come to play with him, if he is losing, he changes the rules and tweaks. So, people speak about Krishna like this particular kid who changes the rules just as seemingly is about to lose that particular game. And then those who are in his side, they happily and merrily tag along with him. So, is this true? Is this what actually Krishna lives for and signifies? So, let us just see this particular incident and analyze and come to a fact how this apad dharma in this particular situation and actually derive the conclusion of this particular incident from this pastime in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the third chapter, Krishna tells Arjuna, Trishu Lokeshu Kinchana Nana Vapta Mavaptavyam Varta Evacha Karmani. So here Krishna says to Arjuna that I am not in want of anything, I am not even in need of anything. Still, Prabhupada says in the purport that Krishna says, although Krishna is not affected by all these revealed scriptures and the regulations mentioned in the revealed scriptures, still, Krishna doesn't violate any rules and in the revealed scriptures when he performs his acts. So, let us take this particular shloka as our foundation and base to analyze this pastime that is unfolding. So, who is Dronacharya? A little bit of history about Dronacharya to dissect this pastime. Dronacharya is a poor Brahmana. He is married to Kripi. He is a disciple of Parashuram and he is a very, very poor Brahmana living in austere conditions. So, when he marries Kripi, who is the daughter of Sardvana Rishi or the sister of Kripacharya, he actually marries into a poor family again. So, his material condition doesn't seem to improve. He remains poor. And then we see in quest or Dronacharya, then he goes to Parshuram. He says, he realizes that at that particular point of time, Parshuram has just returned from a world tour where he has annihilated the demoniac Kshatriyas and put an end to seemingly adharma. And now Parshuram is distributing a lot of wealth. So Dronacharya goes to him seeking wealth at that particular time. by the time he reaches, he has exhausted distributing most of the items. So Parshuram tells Dronacharya, I only have my body to give you and some divine weapons. So I can just give you one of the two things. Dronacharya chooses celestial divine weapons and returns. So anyways, the purpose with which he goes to Parshuram is not sufficed. Still he remains poor to such an extent that his son Ashwatthama, when he is supposed to drink milk, supposedly they are giving him wheat or rice mixed with water, and that is what he is being told, that this is milk. One day when he actually tastes what milk looks like and feels like, he refuses to take this preparation anymore. Dronacharya is forced to go and search for a cow. Situations were separate and different that time. Every person had a cow to get milk, not like today you go to the shop and procure milk. So with this purpose in mind, also Drupad was one of the friends of Dronacharya who had promised or told him in friendship that I will share my wealth if at all I become the king in future. What happens when he goes to the kingdom of Drupad? He is royally insulted and he says, do you know what is the basis of friendship? Friendship is only supposed to be between equals. Dronacharya feels severely insulted. Keeps this in mind. Vengeance is of prime importance for him. Returns with this to his house and in quest, in future, he goes and lands up at the doors of Hastinapur. What happens? He gets employed in Hastinapur as the martial arts teacher of the Kuru children. Next we see, as Guru Dakshina, Dronacharya only was meditating on one particular thing. He wanted Drupad had to be captured and got alive, and that insult had to be avenged. Who does this for him? His most favorite pupil, who was Arjuna. After this, he resides in Hastinapur, very much in the kingdom, enjoying the luxuries of the kingdom. And when Yudhishthir Maharaj, after many years, approaches Dronacharya to ask his help to fight on the side of Dharma, what does Dronacharya say? I am the servant of money. Money is the servant of no one. That is why I am going to fight on the side of Hastinapur, because Hastinapur had given him shelter, and in a way he chose willingly to side Adharma. Mahabharata tells us how Dronacharya willingly chose to side Adharma, giving Yudhishthir this particular reason. Then we see that we are dissecting this particular pastime now. Then further we see how Dronacharya behaves when at different circumstances. So it is mentioned that he goes we were talking about Dronacharya, how he is taking the side of Adharma, siding with Duryodhan for the particular thing that he has received shelter in Hastinapur. Let us see how these things unfold further. On the battlefield of Kurukshetra, when Yudhishthir Maharaj is supposedly now facing Dronacharya, situations unfold to such an extent that Bhishma is no more. Krishna is seeing that Dronacharya is now fighting more ferociously than ever before, annihilating Akshinis of Sena minute by minute. So then Krishna immediately tells that we'll have to check him in order for Dharma to prevail. What does Krishna do? He approaches Yudhishthir with the proposal of speaking this to Yudhishthir Maharaj. But we all know how Yudhishthir Maharaj is. He is Dharma personified, Dharmaraj. It's not so easy to convince him. At the same time, Bhima, he kills the elephant of Indravarma who is also named Ashwatthama. And then what does Bhima do? He shouts loudly in front of Dronacharya that I have killed Ashwatthama, I have killed Ashwatthama. And then what happens? Dronacharya hears this, but he continues fighting. Bhima has sowed the seed. He continues fighting, and till the extent he is annihilating lot of Kshatriyas, then he reaches Yudhishthir. But it is there at the back of his mind. He asks Yudhishthir and inquires, and by the time he is coming, Krishna sees Yudhishthir coming towards the Pandavas, and quickly he realizes what Yudhishthir Maharaj might be thinking. He just lets out and he says, oh my dear Pandavas, kindly listen. In apatkalin sthiti or in apat times, even if you have to lie, it is not considered to be a sin to in order to save somebody else's life. So Yudhishthir Maharaj at this particular time when Dronacharya comes in front of him, he says, yes, Ashwatthama is dead, but then with a soft breath, underneath his breath, he says, it is the elephant Hatha Kunjara. So that is the elephant Ashwatthama, not your son Ashwatthama who has. But nevertheless, Dronacharya doesn't hear that much. And then he continues to fight. He doesn't stop here. His atrocities continue. He is annihilating more people and warriors on the side of Pandavas. To an extent, he annihilates the Virata king. He kills the Panchal king. And then he comes in front of Bhima. Bhima becomes really fierce. And he is really angry at this point of time. And Bhima shouts in front of Dronacharya. And he says, one who knows Shastra as well as Shastra, what kind of a person are you? Does it behoove you you are acting in such a point and such a type where you are a Brahmana and have forgiven and left all types of qualities of a Brahmana and are actually taken up to this Kshatriya because of your action? The Kshatriya kul is being annihilated. Do you realize what kind of a fool you are that you are attached to your son, to the land, to your wife, to your kingdom? And this really pricks Dronacharya and affects him to a large extent. Sense prevails and Dronacharya then somehow or the other sits there. So interestingly, it is also said by one person, in Dharma we have Shastra and Shastra. So what is this Shastra and Shastra? How do we write Shastra? We write Shastra as Sha and then two dandis after that to write Shastra. So in case of somebody who is very qualified like Dronacharya and who doesn't understand and still is committing atrocities, there is a provision made by the providence where one danda is removed, one line is removed, and then it becomes Shastra. And it becomes Sha becomes Sha. And then Dronacharya is annihilated or killed by Drishtadyumna. So dharma is so subtle. There are provisions in scriptures. If you do not follow, then you will be made to follow by the will of providence. So having mentioned all these things, even Dronacharya had committed such atrocities that he actually at one point of time to Karna, he revealed that if you want to kill Abhimanyu, you have to shoot him from the backside and pierce his kavach. Then only you will be able to kill Abhimanyu. What happened later? 6 Maharathis together in the most adharmic act of the entire battle of Kurukshetra, they together killed Abhimanyu. And Dronacharya was one of the main perpetrators and reason, because under his supervision and guidance when he was the commander in chief, this particular thing happened. Also, it is said that when the Pandavas went to the forest, Dronacharya was their teacher, was their guru. Thousands of Brahmanas went with the Pandavas to the forest, leaving Hastinapur. But Dronacharya decided that he would stay, enjoying the luxuries in the palaces of Hastinapur, wanting to enjoy that and not go and live an austere life with the Pandavas, as against Dhaumya Rishi, who was actually the guru and teacher of Pandavas, who actually exemplified and portrayed the quality and duty of a Brahmana. By going with the Pandavas, living with them in good times, living with them in bad times, and exemplifying the nature of Dharma. So, when we see this entire episode, What do we want? We can see that in this particular situation, is it okay to just, you know, speak lies, and not even one lie, you know, one lie and a life of adharma, which leads to so many heinous crimes and is also supporting vast destruction and adharma by supporting the side of Kurus, of Duryodhan, Shakuni, Dushasan. So Dronacharya actually sides with them. Or rather, what do we actually would prefer for? We would prefer for somebody like Yudhishthir Maharaj speaking a lie to bring an end to this sequence of lies that Dronacharya speaks and this life of adharma. Finally, to conclude, we will see that also it is mentioned in the discussion between the Yamadutas and the Yamaraj in the Bhagavatam, that how when the Yamadutas are bewildered by the Vishnudutas coming, they go to Yamaraj and inquire, what is this? Are you not the HOD? Who are these Vishnudutas who are come and are telling us that this is not dharma, this is dharma? And Yamaraj takes this opportunity to preach, you know, Krishna consciousness to the Yamadutas. And finally, what unfolds is the glory and power of holy name. So as a practicing sadhaka, what is the supreme and topmost occupation for us sadhakas is the chanting of the holy name, which is exemplified by this wonderful pastime of Ajamil from the pages of Bhagavatam. So Ajamil, what did he do? He actually chanted without faith. So what will happen if we chanted with faith? Ajamil chanted while dying. So you just imagine, what if we chanted throughout our lifespan? Ajamil chanted to remember his son. What if we chant to remember our father? Ajamil chanted, and he was one of the most sinful people. We have our life in front of us. What if we actually minimize our sinful proclivity and actually try to live a sinless life? So chanting the holy names of the Lord, focusing on the form of the Lord, meditating and praying, if we could actually try to live such a life, then we would actually perfect our life and follow in the footsteps and also be according to the codes of conduct as mentioned in this particular verse. And that would be the perfection of our life. Thank you very much. I will stop here. Hare Krishna, Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nithai Gaur Premanande.